Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're going from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order. It's an exciting run. So today we're picking up in Numbers chapter 16. Talking about Korah, K-O-R-A-H, Korah, and how he rebelled. And how rebellion can spread to a crowd. It can spread to a family. It can spread to a community. It can spread to a business. You got to stop the rebellion early. And because I remember even teaching history years ago. There are companies, you know, the industrial age was birthed in America. And companies sprung up everywhere. And finally, you know, people weren't starving. You come out of the depression and their people are hiring. But things were not as well. The steel mills up in the Northeast, big factories are springing up in the South. And all of a sudden it's like, well, they're not treating us right. And they ought to pay us better. And we ought to have a health insurance. We shouldn't have to work 7 days a week. And all of a sudden people rebelled. So they started forming unions, and the union was a good thing in the beginning. But then it turned into a bad thing. Everything a human touches turns south eventually. And so then the unions became a problem. Then we're going to figure out how to do this. So I remember my father worked for a big company called DuPont and had 7,000 employees. And my dad worked there. My father-in-law worked there. My aunts worked there. Uncles worked there. Big company. Chattanooga was not a big city, but they had big factories all up and down the Tennessee River. And so had 7,000 employees. Well, somebody in the plant got the idea to start a union. Well, DuPont was a non-union factory, and they paid great. Great benefits, great health insurance, great retirement. It was awesome. And so my dad was one of the ones said, no, we don't want a union. We're great now. They're taking good care of us. Don't mess with this. So anyhow, several of them got together, and so the company came down and met with them, said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. If you start this union, we will shut this plant down, dismantle it piece by piece. We will move it to South Carolina, and you won't have any jobs here. We're going to move. And they realized, some of the people began to do some research, they realized they would do it. And so finally, the union thing shut down, and they stopped that deal. Now, throughout history, there's been good unions, bad unions. Good employers, bad employers. Life and death is in front of everybody. Everybody gets to choose every day. And so sometimes things go bad, and you got to learn how to deal with it. So through the Bible, I remember when I was grew up in church, we had Sunday school every Sunday. Not just church, but you were in a Sunday school class. And what we did in Sunday school class, we went through the Bible. People said, how'd you learn the Bible? I went to Sunday school, you know? And so this is Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. This is what happened even in the Old Testament. It's about Korah. One day, Korah, a descendant of the son of Levi, conspired with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, one son of Peleg, the tribe of Reuben. They incited a rebellion against Moses, along with 250 other leaders in the community. What happened? Well, some guys got together, four of them, and incited a rebellion against Moses, along with 250 other people, leaders in the community, all prominent members of the assembly. They united against Moses and Aaron and said, "You've gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with us. He's with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you're greater than the rest of the Lord's people?" When Moses heard what they were saying, he fell face down on the ground. Then he said to Korah and his followers, "Tomorrow morning, the Lord will show to us who belongs to him and who is holy. And the Lord will allow only those whom he selects to enter in his presence. Korah, you, all your followers, must prepare your incense burners, light fires in them tomorrow, then burn incense before the Lord. Then we will see whom the Lord chooses as his holy one. You, You Levites are the ones that have gone too far. Then Moses spoke again to Korah. Now listen, you Levites, does it seem insignificant to you that the Lord of God of Israel has chosen you from among the community of Israel to be near him so you can serve in the Lord's tabernacle and stand with the Lord's people to minister to him? Korah has already given you this special ministry to you and your fellow Levites. Are you now demanding the priesthood as well? In other words, we want a promotion. We don't like being just who we are. We want to be something better. We want to be something different. You know, I don't care how good you are to people. Some people are greedy. They always want more. Then Moses spoke again to Korah. Now listen, Levites, does it seem insignificant? The Lord has chosen from among all the community to be near to him. Says he has already given you a special ministry to you and your fellow ministers. Are you now demanding the priesthood as well? The Lord, the one that your followers are really revolting against, said, you're not revolting against me. You're revolting against God. For who is Aaron that you're complaining about him? Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they replied, we refuse to come before you. Is it enough that you brought us out of Egypt, a land flowing with milk and honey, to kill us here in this wilderness, that you treat us like your subjects? What's more, you haven't brought us into another land flowing with milk and honey. You haven't given us a new homeland with fields and vineyards. Are you trying to fool these men? We will not come. They're challenging the leadership of Moses. You promised us land of milk and honey. We've not seen that yet. What are we doing? What's going on? We don't like your leadership style. We don't like the time it's taking to get it done. Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, do not accept their grain offerings. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them. I have never hurt a single one of them. And Moses said to Korah, you and all your followers must come here tomorrow and present yourselves before the Lord. Aaron will be here also. You and each of your 250 followers must prepare an incense burner and put incense on it so you can all present it before the Lord. Aaron will also bring his incense burner. So each of the men prepared an incense burner in the fire and placed incense in it. Then they all stood at the entrance of the tabernacle with Moses and Aaron. Meanwhile, Korah had stirred up the entire community against Moses and Aaron, and they all gathered together at the tabernacle entrance. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, get away from these people so that I may instantly destroy them. But Moses and Aaron fell down on the ground. Oh God, they pleaded, you are God who gives breath to all creatures. Must you be angry with all the people when only one man sins? And the Lord said to Moses, then tell all the people to get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So Moses got up, rushed over to the tents of Dathan and Abiram, and followed the elders of Israel. Quick, he told the people, get away from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything that belongs to them. If you do, you'll be destroyed for your sins. So all the people stood back from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the entrance of their tents, together with their wives, children, and little ones. And Moses said, this is how you know that the Lord has sent me to do these things that I have done. For I've done them not on my own. If these men die a natural death, or if nothing unusual happens, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord does something entirely new, and the ground opens up its mouth and swallows them and all their belongings, they go down alive to the grave, you will know that these men have shown contempt for the Lord. He had hardly finished speaking the words when the ground suddenly split open beneath them. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed the men, along with their households, their wives, their children, and all their followers who were standing with them, and everything they owned. So they went down alive to the grave, along with their belongings. The earth closed over them, and they vanished from among the people of Israel. All the people around them fled when they heard the screams. The earth will swallow us too, they cried. Then fire blazed from the Lord and burned up the 250 men that were offering incense. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to pull the incense burners from the fire, for they are holy. Tell him to scatter the burning coals. Take the incense burners of all these men that have sinned, to cost their lives, and a hammer and a metal, and hammer them into a thin sheet to overlay the altar. So these burners were used in the Lord's presence. They became holy. Let them serve as a warning to the people of Israel. Verse 39. So Eleazar the priest collected the 250 bronze incense burners that had been used by these men who died in the fire. They hammered them into a thin sheet to overlay the altar. This would warn the Israelites that no unauthorized person, no one who was not a descendant of Aaron, should ever enter the Lord's presence or burn incense. If anyone did, the same thing would happen to him as happened to Korah and his followers. So the Lord's instructions to Moses were carried out. The very next morning, the whole community of Israel began muttering against Moses and Aaron. You have killed the Lord's people. I mean, you understand, this is a horrible thing. You couldn't make this up. It's not a science fiction movie. The ground opened up and swallowed these guys, and they disappeared, and the ground covered them up. Well, the next day they get up, people are still bent out of shape. It's rebellion. It's a sin. Rebellion's a horrible thing. And said, so Eleazar and the priest collected the bronze statues. This was a warning to an unauthorized person. No one who was not a descendant of Aaron should ever enter the Lord's presence to burn incense. If anyone did, the same thing would happen to him. Verse 41. But the next morning, the whole community of Israel began muttering again against Moses and Aaron. You've killed the Lord's people. As the community gathered to protest against Moses and Aaron, they turned toward the tabernacle and saw the cloud had covered it. The glorious presence of the Lord appeared. Moses and Aaron came and stood in front of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, get away from all these people so that I can instantly destroy them. But Moses and Aaron fell down on their face again. And Moses said to Aaron, quick. You understand, these guys are trying to save these people's lives. They just won't respond. So get an incense burner. Place burning coals on it from the altar. Lay incense on it. Cut out among the people to purify them and make them right with the Lord. The Lord's anger is blazing against them. The plague has already begun. As Aaron and Moses, Aaron did as Moses told him and ran out among the people. The plague had already begun to strike down the people, but Aaron burned the incense and purified the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died in that plague. In addition to those who had died in the affair involving Korah, then, because the plague had stopped, Aaron returned to Moses in the tabernacle. Chapter 17, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to bring you 12 wooden staffs, one from each leader of Israel's ancestral tribes, inscribed with the leader's name on the staff. Inscribe Aaron's name on the staff and the tribe of Levi, for there must be one staff per leader in each ancestral tribe. Place these staffs in the tabernacle before the ark containing the tablets of the covenant, where I meet with you. Buds will sprout on the staff belonging to the man I choose. Then I will finally put an end to the people's murmuring and complaining against you. So Moses gave instructions to the people of Israel. Each of the 12 leaders, including Aaron and Moses, brought a staff. Moses placed the staffs in the Lord's presence in the tabernacle of the covenant. When it went into the tabernacle of the covenant the next day, he found that Aaron's staff, representing the tribe of Levi, had sprouted and budded and blossomed and produced ripe almonds. When Moses brought the staffs out from the Lord's presence, he showed to the people. Each man claimed his own staff. The Lord said to Moses, place Aaron's staff permanently before the Ark of the Covenant. The servants are warning to rebels. This should put an end to their complainings against me, prevent any further deaths. So Moses did as the Lord commanded. Then the people of Israel said to Moses, look, we're doomed. We're dead. were ruined. Everyone who comes close to the tabernacle of the Lord dies. Are we all doomed to die? Chapter 18, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you, your sons, and your relatives from the tribe of Levi will be held responsible for any offenses related to the sanctuary. But you and your sons alone will be held responsible for violations connected with the priesthood. Verse 2, bring your relatives, the tribe of Levi, your ancestral tribe, to assist you and your sons as you perform sacred duties in front of the tabernacle of the covenant. But as the Levites go about their assigned duties at the tabernacle, they must be careful not to go near any of the sacred objects of the altar. If they do, both you and they will die. The Levites must join in fulfilling their responsibilities to take care of the maintenance of the tabernacle, but no unauthorized person may assist you. God's trying to set apart the priesthood. See, whom God chooses, God chooses. This is not a vote. This is not a democracy. This is a theocracy. Verse 5. You yourselves must perform the sacred duties inside the sanctuary and the altar. If you follow these instructions, the Lord's anger will never again blaze against the people of Israel. I myself have chosen your fellow Levites from among the Israelites to be your special assistants. They are a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord for service in the tabernacle. But you and your sons, the priests, must personally handle the priestly rituals associated with the altar and everything behind the inner curtain. I'm giving you the priesthood as your special privilege of service. No one unauthorized person who comes near the sanctuary will be put to death. The Lord gave these further instructions to Aaron. I myself have put you in charge of all the holy offerings that are brought to me by the people of Israel. I've given these consecrated offerings to you and your sons as a permanent share. You are allotted a portion of the holy offerings that is not burned on the fire. This portion of the most holy offerings, including the grain offerings, the sin offerings, the guilt offerings, will be most holy, and it belongs to you and your sons. You must eat it as the most holy offering. All the males may eat it, and you may treat it as holy. All the sacred offerings and special offerings presented to me when the Israelites lift them up before the Lord belong to you. I've even given them you and your sons and your daughters as a permanent share. Any member of your family who is ceremonially clean may eat the offerings. Also give you the harvest gifts brought by the people as offerings to the Lord. The best of the olive oil, the new wine, the grain, all the first crops of their land that the people present to the Lord belong to you. Any member of your family who is ceremonially clean may eat this food. Everything in Israel that is specially set apart for the Lord also belongs to you. The firstborn of every mother, whether human or animal, that is offered to the Lord will be yours. But you must always redeem your firstborn sons and your firstborn of the ceremonial unclean animals. Redeem them when they are 1 month old. The redemption price is 5 pieces of silver, measured by the weight of the shekels. However, you may not redeem the firstborn of cattle, sheep, goats. They are holy. They have been set apart for the Lord. Sprinkle their blood on the altar. The burnt fat, the special gift, pleasing aroma to the Lord. The meat of these animals will be yours. This is the breast and the right thighs presented by lifting them up as a special offering before the Lord. Yes, I am giving you all these holy offerings that the people of Israel have brought here for your sons and your daughters to be eaten as your permanent share. This is an eternal, unbreakable covenant between the Lord and applies to you and your descendants. Now, I know that's long. There's a lot of words involved in that, but God's very detailed. He's very specific. What he wants, how he wants it, what he wants done. I just tell people, you know, sin's got death attached to it. You know, if you read Revelation, all the things that are outside the pearly gates, the saints are inside the pearly gates, walking on the golden streets and the trees that are blossoming with all the fruit and the food, the river that runs through the middle of the new Jerusalem. outside are dogs, thieves, robbers, liars. There's a whole nasty list if you read in Revelation. Who's outside? Who doesn't get to enter in? And I used to tell my kids, you might want to read that about once a month and realize who doesn't make it into heaven? Who does not make it into the pearly gate? Well, there's a list. God's very detailed. He's very specific. Sin separates you from God. Sin has death attached to it. The Bible says, you know, sin separates. Well, thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So when I go before God, God looks over to his son points to the altar, and there's an altar in heaven. When Jesus was raised from the dead, Mary came to him. Jesus said to his mom, do not touch me. I've not ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. What was he talking about? He had to take his blood to heaven to put on the mercy seat on the altar in heaven. So when God looks at us, his son points to the altar. God sees his son's blood on that altar, and he realizes my sin, your sin's been paid for. That's why the Bible said we're going boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. When do you need mercy? When you've sinned on purpose. What do you need? I need mercy. Blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road, been born blind. Well, Jesus was coming down the road with the disciples, and somebody said that Bartimaeus said, what's all that noise? Well, that healing rabbi's coming down the road. And said, who? Well, he's done miracles. He's healed people, raised the dead, and opened blinded eyes, and healed cripples. Well, blind Bartimaeus begins to yell, mercy, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped in his tracks. Why? Mercy. You cry for mercy, God will give you his undivided attention. You didn't deserve it. You've not earned it. But God is a merciful God. God's not trying to kill people off. He's trying to save all mankind. That's why he sent his son to earth to die for mankind and raise him from the dead. So when I go to praying to my father looks at his son who's next to the father in heaven, ever living to make intercession for us. And he looks to his son, and someone pointed to that altar, and there's his blood on that altar. So I've been redeemed. I can run boldly. I, myself, Joe, I can run boldly to the throne of grace. What's grace? The ability to do what I can't do on my own. I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy. What's mercy? Undeserved forgiveness. To get mercy and help in time of need. So when I have need, I don't run from God. I run to God. God's a loving God, and he's a good God. So we've learned a lot today. I know a lot of scripture, Old Testament stuff. People said, man, do you read that stuff? Well, I have gone through the Bible 10 times, and I need to go through it a lot more. But you learn something every time you go through it. And people sometimes say, well, I don't get anything out of that. Well, there's a reason behind everything. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn top to bottom. No more bulls, no more goats, no more sacrifices. The blood of Jesus takes care of it all. So it's our faith in what Jesus did, not in our bringing some bull to some altar or cutting some throat of some turtle dove or some pigeon or some sheep. No, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from everything. It's my faith in what Jesus did, not what I do. We've got it made, guys. Let's get in the Word of God and get our mind renewed and live the life God called us to live. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Tune in next time.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.